So it is a real pleasure to be here with you in our kollel here in Israel and to have a chance to meet with you and to share some words of Torah and really words about life. You know, hearing your very briefly about yourself reminds me a lot about when I was in your shoes. You can't say literally, but in a very real, way. I studied in Gruss for 2 years. For all you aspiring for those, I was here. I was married. I got married after college, and we spent a year in. At the time, was Rav David's building. Now it's Rav Meir's building. Rav Goldberg's building. And then afterwards, we came to Gruss, my wife and I. And we had really the most incredible experience being here, studying under Rabbi Mori, Rabbi Miller, and Marino Verbein, Rav Lichtenstein. And such a powerful, transformative experience. When I came into Gruss, I was planning on being a lawyer. I took the LSATs. I was in law school. I was accepted into law school. And I asked to defer. And I was at Smicha at the same time. That's a path that many in my family have chosen, which is to go both law and Smicha. After that, what normally happens is people enter into law, because the smicha track is not the way you pay off your law school debts, apparently. But that's a very common, at least in my family, that was a very common path. And that was my plan. And then when I was in Gruss, we had this really major decision, which was, should we enter into law or go to Avodas HaKodesh? And then in Avodas HaKodesh, they had to figure out whether it's Rabbanus or Chinuch. And that was like a sub-question of the bigger question. I remember, and speaking to Rabbi Miller about this a lot, this very question, and it was very hard to figure out a life's trajectory, a life's path, and the real consequences in these decisions. And it was my years here that helped shape my answer. And I remember the time I was speaking, I think it must have been after the second year, that it was maybe after the writing contest, I don't remember what, but I was speaking in some forum, and I spoke about this, and I basically announced to the crowd, I mean, my wife knew, I think, no, that my wife and I have decided to stay in Avodas HaKodesh and to give up the law school side, and that was going to be our path. Then there was a whole other question, which is where, because we wanted to be in Israel, and what was the best path that we could do that. And it's a much longer story, but one piece of it I don't think that people fully aware of is that we decided to go back to study. I learned in the Kol Elyon and to learn in YU. And at the same time, my wife was the dorm mother of the Touro College dormitory, Touro College for Women. And I lived there for a couple of years in Manhattan, while at the same time rabbinic intern in the Upper West Side. And there was Rabbi Chaim Eisenstein, who was on the Upper West Side with me. And I was learning with Asaf, Rabbi Bednarsh. This is like all my life coming in one circle in this room. But these are the years where you make these kinds of decisions, right? These are the years where you're figuring out, you know, what path you're going to take, what path professionally, where you're going to be, you know. And these are the time in your life where this becomes where those paths, you know, we like leaving our options open, but these paths start beginning to become more defined. And that's why it's so special to have this place to help you do it. So in thinking about bigger life lessons, I thought I wanted to share with you something that I saw a couple of weeks ago in the Parsha. You know, we all know how the Torah introduces us to Moshe. Vayelech ish mi beis Levi veikach es bas Levi. Now, if you look at the pasuk, what does the word ish mean? Vayelech ish mi beis Levi. What does the word ish mean generally? Man. What other word is used in the Torah to say the word man? Any other word?
Adam.
You have ish, you have Adam. Ish, man, vayelech ish mi beis Levi. Now, the word ish shows up often in this part of the Torah, in this parak introducing us to Moshe. As we know, Ve'yibyam mehem b'yigdal Moshe v'yitze elachav, v'yar b'sivosam, v'yar ish mitzri make ish evri me'achav. Moshe saw an ish evri, ish mitzri hit an ish evri. So an Egyptian man hit a Hebrew man. Ba'ifen cho v'cho, Moshe looked this way and that way, and he saw, continuing the translation, that there was no ish, there was nobody else there. So he hit the Egyptian and he hit him in the sand. Then he goes down the second and he sees two Hebrew men were fighting. Why are you hitting your friend, your peer, your colleague? And he says, and one of them answered, "Mi samcha leish sar v'shofet aleinu." So how would you translate that? "Mi samcha leish." How would you translate that?
Who put you as an officer, some sort of?
Right. So who appointed you as leish sar v'shofet aleinu? So sar v'shofet is like an officer. What does ish mean here? So all of a sudden we're introduced that the possibility that ish has a second meaning, which is, of course, what?
A leader.
Right? B'makom she'en anashim mishtavdu liyot ish. In a place where there are leaders, you should strive to be a leader. The word ish has a second layer of meaning, that ish means leader. Now, if you go back before and think of ish not just as a person, but as a leader, you could see the importance of the word. First of all, who was Moshe's father? And Moshe's father was an ish. V'yikach ish mi beis Levi. Okay, that's important to keep in mind, that Moshe's father was an ish too. Okay, and further, when the pasuk says that v'yifen cho v'cho v'yar ki an ish, so what does that mean? So what are your choices? Either means, what are your choices? Either nobody's there, or
there's no leaders.
There's no leaders there. So Nitziv famously talks about the Bayar Kibif and Chovacho, that there are many people there, right? But that Moshe looked around and he saw nobody's doing anything about it. Nobody's doing anything about it. And here you get an inkling into why nobody's doing anything about it. Why is nobody doing anything about it? Because they're awaiting for somebody to be appointed. Mi samcha leish. Who appointed you? Why are you getting involved? Who appointed you an ish? And the mentality of the time was that you needed to be appointed the ish. Right? And that's the whole authority model, and you can certainly understand the circumstances and what led to the authority model. A mi samcha leish. Right, and that was the climate and culture that Moshe was so surprised about. Right, and when he comes, v'yifen cho v'cho v'yar ki nish, nobody's doing anything. They're just letting this injustice, they're letting this go on. So then Moshe runs away, and what happens when he runs away? He goes to, he goes and sees another situation. This time, not a non-Jew hitting a Jew, or a Jew hitting a Jew, but two, he's a total stranger, he's a total foreigner. He comes and says, and you're most vulnerable. If you're a foreigner, you're totally vulnerable. Right? Nobody's there to protect him. Nobody's there to help him. And what does he do? He protects. He sees that there's some women who are being discriminated against. So he goes in and protects them. And then they come home. And Reuel Avihen says, Madua mihartan bohayom, vatomarna ish mitzri, itzilena miyad haroim. What does ish mitzri mean? So here, it's not just an Egyptian man, meaning dressed like an Egyptian, but there's an ish. There was an ish who saved us. And then their father says to them, Vayom rabbanota va'ayo, lama ze azavten et ha'ish. Why did... There was an ish there? There's an... Really, an ish? How can you leave the ish there? Bring that leader, bring that person back here. Vayom Moshe l'shevet et ha'ish. What does that mean? They brought him here. Vayom Moshe l'shevet et ha'ish. What does that mean?
To dwell by Yitro, who was Ish.
Ah, so now Ish isn't referring to Moshe, but it's referring to Yitro. And you see what attracted Moshe to Yitro. Because Yitro was also an Ish. Vayitene tzipora bito l'Moshe. So Moshe was, when he came to Yitro, he recognized himself, he recognized an Ish, or to say more, who's in psychology? Who's a psychologist? Or who did he recognize in Yitro?
Himself.
His future. Yafe. Actually, maybe something even more primary. His father. Nikach ish mi beis levi. He saw in Yitro his father. Yitro is a father figure to him. Because finally, after being in the context of people who are not Anashim, who are not involved, he saw his father again. He saw as a figure, an ish. And he married, that was his family. Okay, so the word ish plays a primary role in this parak that fleshes out, that ish isn't just a person, but a leader. And the importance of b'makom shen Anashim mishtad liot ish, the importance of leadership, the importance of being mashpia, the importance of getting involved, the importance of seeing where, if there's a very specific problem or broader Jewish history is in front of you. Is that a coincidence that Moshe was the one that was asked? Right? You see it all already in this parak when Moshe begins. What I realized a couple weeks ago was that there's a really fascinating parallel between this story and what happens in Perek Daled. Because in Perek Daled, or beginning of Perek Gimel, Hashem comes to Moshe. Again, remember, the turning point here is when somebody says to Moshe, Mi samcha le'ish. Mi samcha le'ish. That's when we know ish has a second connotation. Mi samcha le'ish. So in Perek Gimel, Hashem comes to Moshe, and he says, you have a job. You have a mission. I need you to go and go to Mitzrayim, bring Am Yisrael out. And what does Moshe say? What does he say? No, I don't want to go. I can't do it. And Hashem tries again. You don't worry. Go. Are they going to believe what I'm saying? They're not going to believe. I'll give you signs. But I can't speak. I can't speak. So what does Hashem finally say at the end over there? He says, Mi sam peh la adam. Mi sam peh la adam. Now, if you look very carefully throughout the Torah, when the Torah uses the word ish and when it uses adam, it's a fascinating, that itself would be a great, interesting thesis. because these are all obviously intentional. Adam also has a double layer of meaning, by the way. Adam, somebody said, is Ish, but Adam could also be. Adam is a person. Adam existed. So Adam, when it's Adam is used, is interesting. Okay, but the parallel of Misam Chali Ish and Misam Pela Adam. Because here you have the exact opposite. You have the exact opposite expression of Moshe. Moshe isn't running to do it, just the opposite. He's afraid to do it. That he's not going to be up to the task. And what does Hashem say to Moshe? What does he say? He says, do you think you're doing it? Do you think it's you? Misam pela Adam. Who do you think is in control over here? You think your liabilities will get in the way? There's Jewish destiny. There's Jewish history. Yeah, I'll take care of it. Misam pela Adam. Who gives the mouth for people to speak? It's on me. And it's really, it's a cross story of Misam Chalish, Misam Pela Adam, that taken together, I think, reflect a perspective on life which is crucial. Which is, on the one hand, B'makom Shein Anashim Mishtad Liotish. You need your ishtadlus, 100% your ishtadlus, 100%. If you're not going to, you got it, you see something, if you can do something, be a leader, change the, help a person, one person, let alone a talmidim, students, next generation, the Jewish people, you need to do something, you have to feel that it's on you to do. 100% is Shabbos. And at the same time, Misam Pela Adam. It's all in Hashem's hands. It's 100% Emunah. 100%. It's 100% in Hashem's hands. 100%. So this, like, balance, or living with both, 100% ishtadlus, 100% emuna, is a core frame on which to shape our lives in so many ways. But in your cases, when you're thinking about your future and the decisions that you need to make, like they're it's on you to decide and to figure out how best to use your talents and skills, you know, to help individuals, your family, your community, the Jewish people, the broader world. It's on you. But at the same time, Misam Pela Adam, it's all in Hashem's hands. It's all in Hashem's hands. And you're making these decisions, and they're so important, but maybe they don't have to be so stressful, because in the end, it's all in Hashem's hands. You know, I'm in a fascinating position as being the president of YU, because there's a lot of things that have to be done, and that we're doing, and that we're growing. You know, and Baruch Hashem, you know, moving YU forward, which is so important for our individual students, but for the Jewish people, and I would say for the broader society, it's so important. What everyone here is doing, it's so important. Our Rabbanim, our Mechanchim, our faculty, what they're teaching, all the administrators, it's so important. But I know 1,000% that it's all B'yad Hashem. 1,000%. It's all Biyad Hashem. You know, it's what he wants. We are just the Shlichim. We are just the Shlichim. And it'll go where he wants it to go. You know, and you need both of those. You need both of those. You need the Misam Chaliisha, Misam Pela Adam. You know, you need it in order to keep things in perspective. You know, both in terms of perspective, you can't just say Amuna and I'm not doing anything. You need to be working and doing it. Right? But also, not to be too overtaxed and overwhelmed. Because in the end, Misam Pela Adam. And it's both of these that help give one shape in one's life. So I was driving a YU student who asked me for a lift. And he said to me that every morning he wakes up and he says, after Modani, he says, Ishtadlus en Amuna. Every day he wakes up and says, Ishtadlus en Amuna. I'm like, wow, what? That's amazing. If we would all just wake up every day, Ishtadlus en Amuna. Ishtadlus en Amuna. Or it could be when you wake up, you say Ishtadlus, when you go to sleep, you say Amuna. Something about that also. How you wake up and how you go. But to frame your whole day around the Shtadlus and Amuna is enormously powerful. Enormously powerful. And as you think about these questions of your own course of your life, you know, I wanted to share that frame with you. You know, for your everyday today, as you learn, as Talmidim in our yeshiva, and as you go out into the world, and you think about everything that you can possibly bring of your talents and skills to the world, with a full understanding that a kol b'nei shamayim, and you know, we work in that framework, and that's a path of truly living like a ben Torah, who is mashpia, who has an impact on today, and it's especially true today. When there's so much to do. There's so much to do. All right? And you mentioned in this room, you have people who want to stay in Israel, people who want to do work in the Jewish community in America. There's so much to do. In all fields, by the way, not just in the Chinuch Rabbanus versus law, but in all fields. There are people in the room who talked about whether it's in the communications or in tech, in all fields, there's so much good to be done in this ever-evolving world that we live in. And it needs it. It needs quality people with the inspiration and aspiration to make a difference, you know, and to live out their lives as true shlichim. You know, and that's what we try to inspire at Yeshiva University. That's what we try to inspire in Yeshivas from Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elkanan. This duality, Ishtadlus and Amuna, to capitalizing on the opportunities in this world, with this full sense that one is living their lives as Avdei Hashem, and understanding with full Amuna, you know, that we put ourselves in His hands. And that intermingling of both, you know, leads us to the lives that we... Bezrat Hashem aspire to achieve.